It's Weekend Edition from KQED News. I'm Azul Dahlstrom-Ekman, and you're listening to KQED's Pride Radio Special.
And I'm Rachel Vasquez. Today is San Francisco's Pride Parade, one of the largest and longest-running Pride celebrations in the world.
In honor of that, today we're bringing you stories focusing on the history and importance of Pride, as well as local efforts to celebrate and protect LGBTQ rights in the Bay Area. Tomorrow marks 10 years since California's Proposition 8 was overturned. Prop 8 was a 2008 voter-approved law that banned same-sex marriage in the state.
Shortly after it went into effect, two same-sex couples sued to block the law in a battle that ultimately ended at the Supreme Court. Its reversal paved the way for marriage equality in the country, but the trial was contentious and included intimate testimony from the couples.
I spoke with KQED community reporter Carlos Cabrera Lomelí about the legacy of Prop 8 and how the couples involved in the trial are thinking back on that moment. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, Azul.
So, Carlos, when Prop 8 passed back in 2008, what was the response from the LGBTQ community?
Right after election night, folks started organizing. The plan was to challenge Prop 8 in the courts as soon as it went into effect in 2009. Two same-sex couples, Chris Perry and Sandy Steer, two women from the Bay Area, and Paul Katami and Jeffrey Zarrillo, two men from Southern California, applied for marriage licenses and were denied. Both couples sued several California state officials, and this became the foundation for the case, Hollingsworth versus Perry.
Right, and so this case began in 2009, but it didn't reach the Supreme Court until 2013. So what happened during that time?
Both couples played a critical role in the case, specifically through their testimony when the case was moving up through the judicial system. The case eventually made it to the U.S. District Court. The judge, Vaughn Walker, wanted the trial to be live-streamed and made publicly available, but the lawyers defending Prop 8 fought back against this and eventually got their way. However, Walker did end up videotaping the trial so he could use the recording when making a decision.
And I know eventually KQED got a hold of these tapes. So what was the process like to get those tapes?
Right. KQED and several other media organizations had to fight to make those recordings publicly available. This turned into a whole separate legal battle that lasted for years. At the end of last year, the coalition finally came out victorious and the tapes were made publicly available.
And so all of a sudden, as I understand, you got 200 hours of tape put in your lap and you watched these tapes, right? So what did you see?
Yes, there's hours and hours of tapes from the trial, and I went through all of them, which did take a long time, but what immediately stood out to me was the testimony of these two couples who fought Prop 8 because they were not able to marry. Sometimes when we follow legal battles that could have huge consequences, we miss out on the human stories that are pushing all of this. So here's a clip from the tapes. This is Sandy Steer on the stand.
How do you feel about being a plaintiff in a case trying to change the Constitution? Is it a burden or is it something that's easy for you because of what it means? Tell us about that.
Well, it doesn't feel like a burden. I feel like a little tiny person in this huge country that I just want my rights. And I guess I keep focusing on the federal constitution more than the California constitution. So I think I'm not trying to change anything. I'm just trying to get the rights that the constitution already says I have.
Both couples face very intense questioning in a courtroom full of lawyers and journalists. And when you watch these tapes, you can hear the conviction in their voice, their determination to marry the person they love. Here's Jeffrey Zarrillo responding to an attorney.
Now today, you're in a committed relationship with another gay man, correct? Tell me a little bit about that man.
I love him probably more than I love myself. I would do anything for him. I would put his needs ahead of my own. I would be with him in sickness and in health, in richer for poorer, death for part. Just like vows. I would do anything for him. And I want nothing more than to marry him.
Wow, so that's pretty intense testimony. So now we're 10 years from Prop 8 being overturned. Where are these couples now?
You know, Azul, KQED politics editor Scott Schaefer and I met in person with the couples earlier this year. Both are still together and married. Chris and Sandy live here in the Bay with their children, all grown up, and Paul and Jeffrey are still in SoCal. And the four of them came to KQED to meet with us and watch the tapes with us. And we also asked them what their thoughts are on the most recent push by conservative lawmakers to limit LGBTQ rights, like the Don't Say Gay law in Florida and the drag show bans in Tennessee. This is what Jeffrey Zarrillo told us.
The tactics used today are very similar to the tactics that were used during the Prop 8 campaign and all the marriage amendments from 04 forward, because we're an easy target. And we rile up the base. And they use these misrepresentations of our community as a way to fundraise, as a way to create fear. And that's the exact same thing they did back then.
He thinks that with the next generation of kids growing up, the people that support laws like this, that limit sexual expression, will get voted out.
Wow, Carlos, so this is a big project, and I understand you're working on some other things related to this. So when will KQED audiences be able to see the tapes?
Yeah, we're currently working on a video series to mark the 15 years since the passage of Prop 8 that will include these interviews with the two couples and the original trial footage. That'll be available next month on KQED.org.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
That was KQED community reporter Carlos Cabrera Lomelí.